This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and SiriusXM Channel 371.
How about the little old ACC going back-to-back road, I mean major road wins last night after NC State set the table in Raleigh yesterday?
There was some serious roadkill on the women's side last night. The ACC's wearing people out. All of a sudden, the Atlantic Coast, the women have been great all year.
Yeah.
All right? The men have surprised everybody
right.
in the tournament, right? Let's be transparent on this. The men have come out of nowhere,
yeah.
right? Only one ranked team all year. The AP voters sound asleep.
Right.
Whatever. You got people talking about the SEC is better than the ACC. Got it. Great.
Awesome.
But the women have been really good and consistent. But they are wearing people out in this tournament.
Well, last night it started in Raleigh with NC State's win over Kansas State. And maybe kind of a different way to success. They ended up winning 89-57. Early foul trouble, though. Wes Moore had to get into the depth. Didn't matter. Wolfpack got after it. Diamond Johnson has 15 points. She's 5 of 5 from 3. Kayla Jones, 18 and 5 with 3 assists. And NC State, quite frankly, made it look easy. Kansas State had played them early in the year to, what, like an 18-point game early on. A little touch and go, and then the Wolfpack just basically ran off, winning by 32.
It was the fifth 30-point margin of the NCAA women's tournament.
Wow.
Wow. I'm talking about from 30 to 39 points,
yeah.
we've had 5 of those.
Whoa.
I'm not done either because we're getting ready to take it to another level in the next island.
Okay. Let's move to Norman, Oklahoma. Game 1 of 2 roadies last night for 5 seeds to see if they could get to the Sweet 16.
Yikes.
And Notre Dame beat Oklahoma last night on their own floor, 108-64. Pack.
Can't spell blowout without OU.
Oh, my God. 44 points on your own floor? Good thing they were a 4 seed. Nice job, committee.
Well, Notre Dame's rocking, brother. And by the way, that is the fifth NCAA women's tournament game.
Fifth?
Determined by 40 to 49 points. Oh, yeah. I did some numbers.
Has there been one of 50 or more?
Yes, there has.
Oh, my gosh.
South Carolina beat Howard. Remember, they had them 44-4 at halftime.
Right.
And another thrilling NCAA women's tournament game.
Look at the first quarter number for Notre Dame in 2 NCAA tournament games. 67-29?
It helps to play defense, I'm just saying, in this day and age. But the Irish are rolling. But you know what these two have in common? These two teams that were showing highlights of in the first segment? They're getting ready to play each other in the next round.
Yeah. Dara Mabry, by the way, outscored Oklahoma in the first quarter last night. 5 threes, 17 points. Oklahoma had 12. 1 of 5 from behind the line.
Pretty good.
Yeah, NC State, Notre Dame.
In Bridgeport.
Yeah. Hey, how about Bridgeport? Okay. Hey,
everybody talking about UConn this, UConn that. And, oh, by the way, you know, Notre Dame saw NC State earlier this year. Guess what happened?
They won.
Notre Dame beat NC State.
Yep.
There you go.
Saturday morning, 11:30 on ESPN. Top-seeded Wolfpack, 5-seed Notre Dame, followed by the 3-seed Indiana, who edged Princeton last night.
Same with UConn.
Yeah, UConn had a little street fight with UCF last night in an old American showdown from back in the day for Geno. Didn't know Nikisha Sales, by the way, the former UConn star, was an associate head coach at UCF, but they schemed up pretty good last night on the Huskies. So that's one side of the Sweet 16. The other one involving an ACC team will be in Greensboro because North Carolina is going to be at the Coliseum to meet top seed South Carolina after going to Arizona last night and throttling the national runners-up from a year ago by 18 points, 63-45. Arizona was stuck on 12 for about a week and a half. And boy, Carolina didn't let up. Great win for Courtney Banghart's team, Mark.
No question. Tar Heels back in the Sweet 16 for the first time since 2015. And we have had 52 games played on the NCAA Women's Tournament. 36 of them have been double-digit margins. 36 of the 52.
Holy cow.
Those are the numbers.
Wow.
The good news, though, Sweet 16 has not one, not two, not three, but 4 ACC teams in the Sweet 16. That ties for the most of any conference along with the Big Ten. The men, the women getting the job done in hoops in the Atlantic Coast Conference. Yeah.
Carolina, by the way, is the only ACC school with both their men's and women's basketball program in the Sweet 16. So congratulations to Bubba Cunningham on that. Here's a look at the bracket in Greensboro.
Tough deal here, though. Gamecocks are legit.
Friday nights, 7 o'clock. Number one, South Carolina, the number one overall seed, meets Carolina. That's at 7. And at 9:30, number three, Iowa State, meets number 10 seed Creighton.
Who upset Iowa.
That's right. You got Caitlin Clark and the Hawkeyes the other day. That's 9:30 Friday night. That's
which could have given you a little Iowa-Iowa State action had if, again, the biggest word in sports, if Iowa had been able to hold serve at home.
We gave you some pre-10 o'clock breaking news yesterday and a little breaking news post-10 o'clock on the women's basketball side in the ACC. And this one, there was a coming at Charlottesville, and this is a going in Tallahassee. 24 years as the head coach at Florida State, Sue Semeraud has announced her retirement, the winningest coach in Florida State history, 5 Sweet 16, 3 Elite 8s, 2 ACC co-regular season titles, 16 NCAA tournament appearances, 4-time ACC Coach of the Year, I mean, you name it, 470 wins for Sue Semeraud as the head coach of the Seminoles, and our congratulations and tip of the cap to Coach Sue on a great career.
Yeah, no doubt about that. And we just had her on the show a couple weeks ago, and ironically, during the ACC tournament in Greensboro, when I arrived at my hotel suite, I bumped into Coach in the elevator. We rode up and had a pleasant conversation, but she's been great for Florida State, great for the league, and hopefully she enjoys retirement, chilling and grilling, watching the hoops from the side, and taking care of more important things.
Yeah, and Michael Offord, the athletics director at Florida State, we all remember a year ago, Coach Semeraud was not with the team, tending to her parents who live in the Pacific Northwest, who've now relocated, I think it is, to Florida, she told us. And Brooke Wyckoff was the interim head coach that year. Is that an easy transition for Michael Offord? I'm sure that's Brooke is a strong candidate for the job. I'm sure we'll see how that plays out as that job is filled in Tallahassee. But our congratulations to Sue Semeraud for guiding Florida State. We'll take a break. When we come back, there is plenty to cover. The men's numbers, we know that three are in the Sweet 16, but the numbers, did you know the ACC, little old ACC, whose demise was falsely reported, Pack,
by multiple sources.
Yes. Ties for the most teams in the Sweet 16? Amazing. Come back and outline it for you next. Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. Good morning.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a Tuesday. 844 Say ACCN is the number for the program. So the women continue to rock and roll.
Yeah.
Stay consistent as the regular season was.
That's
been
right.
Really, really good. Mm-hmm. Quality teams at the top, great depth, and that's being proven so far in the NCAA tournament. The biggest surprise, you'd have to say, based on expectations from a national perspective, the narrative, if you will, is the Atlantic Coast Conference on the men's side. ACC 8-2 so far in the tournament. And I'm not even counting the 4-0 in the NIT. Three teams in the Sweet 16. Mr. Durham, life's pretty good right now for Mr. Phillips up there in Greensboro.
Was it we had a conversation somewhere along the lines, I want to say mid-January, maybe early February, where somebody cited the ACC. And Cassius Stanley, the former Duke Blue Devil, says, ACC, the best conference in basketball, let's talk about it. Well, don't mind if we do. Remember there was the comparison to last year's Pac-12 run?
Yeah.
Eerily similar at this point, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, just a few teams in, but the ones that were in going to make some noise. And, of course, UCLA started with that first four and rolled right into the Final Four and played great. Notre Dame kind of gave you a dose of that, continuing that trend that somebody from that first four group makes a deep run, semi-deep run, that the Irish played really well, had a chance against Texas Tech. But, you know, Duke being there, kind of expected.
Yes.
Even though you knew the fist fight with Michigan State was going to be there. I think North Carolina knocking off a one was a big story. And Miami with great guard play and Jim Larrañaga, who can really dial them up in terms of X's and O's, terrific stuff. So the ACC with three in the Sweet 16, you just signed up for that before we got started.
Big 12 has three. Big Ten 2, Pac 12 2, Big East 2 of the Sweet 16. SEC, American, West Coast, Gonzaga, Metro Atlantic, Peacocks, St. Peter's all have one in the Sweet 16. All right, let's go by the numbers. The ACC sends three teams to the Sweet 16 for the 19th time, two more than any other conference, okay? 119 is the Sweet 16 appearances by ACC schools, 19 more than any other conference, 100 by the Big Ten. That's 2.5 ACC teams in the Sweet 16 per year, Pac.
Well, this has always been a great, not good, great basketball conference. And for folks who have followed it for a long time, would you say this season, based on the eye test, would the league be down? Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Because the standard is always so ridiculously high. But when you get to tournament basketball and you bring the best that you've got to the table, this conference is pretty strong now. Yeah, you know, there's always things when you talk about standards in different sports and conferences. Well, the standard is this league.
Yeah.
Always has been, and until proven otherwise, always will be.
Yeah. And you talked about this yesterday. It's just 42 straight years with at least one Sweet 16 team. That's 19 years longer than the Big 12, who has 23. That's their current working streak.
Which is another terrific league, by the way.
Yep.
Big 12 consistently good and deep.
1979, we refer to Black Sunday every once in a while on this show. That was Duke and Carolina both lost on a Sunday, and the ACC was essentially done on the opening Sunday of the NCAA tournament. But in 1979, Notre Dame, Louisville, and Syracuse all made the Sweet 16. You know, retro history, we can go back.
No, but they were not ACC schools.
Right, that's I understand.
I don't play that game.
No, I don't.
There's
either.
A lot of leagues and schools that love to go retro and recreate history.
Yeah.
They were not members of the ACC. So therefore, by the way, speaking of Black Sunday, I thought about that on Sunday when I'm watching the Big Ten and I'm watching Illinois lose. I'm watching Ohio State lose.
Right.
And I'm watching Michigan State lose.
Right.
There's another one in there. I kept losing. And it got down to, hey, the Big Ten's 0-4 with Purdue last in the deck to play. And that game against Texas was give and take in the second half. I'm thinking, holy mackerel. Big Ten got a chance to go 0-5 on one day.
Mm-hmm.
Almost happened.
Yeah, sure did. Last time the ACC did not make the Sweet 16, gas was 90 cents a gallon.
Let that marinate a second.
Oh, boy.
Go to the pump today, and you go, man, 90 cents a gallon. That sounds pretty good.
Didn't know I had to work on my interest rates at the pump. The ACC has lost 51 Sweet 16 games. No other conference has even won more than 51 Sweet 16 games. They're 65-51 all time. How many times has the ACC featured the most teams in the Sweet 16, including ties? 20. And this is the fifth time in the last seven tournaments. So when we talk about the decline of the ACC, still remember, for the fifth time in the last seven tournaments, they're tied for the most teams in the Sweet 16, at worst, sometimes leading the Sweet 16.
You know, and we're going to rattle through all these stats, which obviously are impressive.
Mm-hmm.
But let's all be honest. The ultimate goal
is to win it.
Yep.
I mean,
this is nice. This is why I said yesterday – on this show, even on the radio show yesterday afternoon, this tournament can change on a dime, right? I mean, you could go from, man, life is good, to a week from now going, what happened? I mean,
yeah.
If you don't believe me, ask Greg Sankey, right?
Mm-hmm.
It can turn on you quick.
Absolutely.
When you're not paying attention. So these numbers are incredibly impressive, but I think if you're an ACC basketball fan, none of them are surprising you, because you've known growing up with this sport in this league that this is the standard. Mm-hmm. Now, doesn't mean it's the best every single year, but you know what? You want to measure up how good your league is.
Right.
You're looking to see what did the ACC do and how are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works.
Yeah. An ACC team has played in 96% of the Sweet 16s all time, 45 of 47. The only 2 years, 1976, and we mentioned Black Sunday in 79. In 76, that's the year Virginia beat Carolina at Landover.
Yeah.
Both teams lost in their first NCAA tournament game. I want to say Virginia lost to Dave Corzine and DePaul. I think they lost here in Charlotte, too, by the way, Pac.
I think you're right.
Carolina lost to, I want to say, Alabama in Dayton, Ohio. I may be wrong on that. I'll have to look that one up.
You know what? It also goes to show you that some things haven't changed. Winning that conference championship in the tournament, how does that equate? We talked about Virginia Tech a lot last week. And can they take that momentum to the next level? Normally, that answer is no. Right? No. I mean, just look at this year. Iowa, incredible in the Big Ten tournament. What do they do? Lay a giant fat egg first game.
Yeah.
Virginia Tech, awesome in Brooklyn. What do they do against Texas? Come up short. What did Tennessee do? When they win the SEC, they win one game and then, see you later. Got to go.
Yeah.
It's amazing how often that happens.
Yeah. Let me jump down here to the last couple here because I want to share one with you. 31 ACC coaches have led their program to a Sweet 16. Hubert Davis is the 31st. I'm going to give you a list of coaches that have had one Sweet 16 appearance in the ACC. Okay? Notable coaches. Look at this. Look at this list of one. Just one.
You can see my Tigers dominate here.
Yeah, but I mean, one. Herb Sendek, Skip Prosser, Rick Pitino, Al Skinner, ran the flex on them. Cliff Ellis, Rick Barnes. I mean, one. That's it, just one. But that counts on the list. Are you surprised by that?
Hey, it's hard to do. I mean,
it is hard to do. Tournament's an unforgiving beast now.
Like I said, this is the March Madness is as great as it is for us as fans sitting on the couch, and sometimes you broadcast, whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
It is a mistress, man.
Yes, it is.
She will turn on you. That's why I keep saying this tournament, in a millisecond, you could be on top of the world. Man, we look great. We're going to win the whole thing. And the next time you play, brother, it is all she wrote. And you're on the couch with me and the dogs. So I'm just saying, feel good while you got it. But the object eventually is to cut down the nets in New Orleans and Minneapolis, respectively.
As you know, because there are years like last year where we had one. Right?
That's what happens.
Yeah. All right. Here's the other one. This is the one you can take with you today.
It's a bar bet.
50%. 119 out of 236. It's the number of ACC teams to make the NCAA tournament in the Sweet 16 era and reach the Sweet 16. It's the highest percentage of any conference.
Like I said, it's called the standard.
There you go.
And if you think we're shoving it down your throat this morning with the numbers,
that'd be right.
Well, we are.
That'd be
accurate.
That would be correct, yes.
But, you know, the numbers don't lie. I mean, it's all about scoreboard. This is nothing but scoreboard is what we're talking about right now.
That's right.
It's all scoreboard.
Yeah. Two of the standards to reach the Sweet 16, the ACC, and all these numbers are Duke and Carolina, and they're back there again this year. Tar Heels in Philadelphia on Friday, Blue Devils out west in San Francisco on Thursday night. We will kind of go down memory lane with those programs.
This is a pretty good combination of cities to host coming up this week.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all four of them, you can have a really good time in these four cities.
Yeah. In fact, coming up, Seth Greenberg, 8 o'clock. Kelly Gramlich, 8:30. We'll recap the night on the ladies' card. Luke DeCock at 9. And Charlie Moore, who does have a homecoming this week.
He does. Come back to Chicago.
Charlie Moore will bring us up to speed on what his city tour for his teammates will be like.
And Charlie's done some traveling, but he's going home.
Charlie has done some traveling. All that and more coming up. Packer and Durham is underway. Tar Heels and Blue Devils, both back in the Sweet 16. We will look at it by numbers and by history next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
The boys are out, man. You know, it was nice yesterday. So between shows, Fuller got some serious ball time yesterday. He was worn out.
Was he?
Worn out. Brother Fuller.
How's his athleticism? He's already had his combine.
Let me tell you something. He is ready for that competition when those Labradors go zipping down the wharf and they throw the ball.
Yeah.
He could do that. He's got that skill.
Yeah.
Chester, he's like, whatever. Yeah, bring the ball to me.
We can't tell you what Chester does on this show.
The only thing Chester's missing is a middle digit.
Yeah.
I told you that before. Chester needs a middle digit.
Yeah.
Because he'd use it.
He would go, yeah, whatever. Yeah,
pure there he is.
Look at him. See? Yeah.
He's just ready. He's like, hey, listen, when y'all going to talk about Haley Van Lith? I mean, y'all have talked about everybody but Louisville women's basketball. That's later in the show, Chester. Yeah. We'll wake you up when it's time for Your girl.
16th time Duke and Carolina have made the Sweet 16 in the same NCAA tournament. Over the previous 15, they've reached the Elite Eight three times.
Surprised that number's that low.
Mm-hmm. I thought it would Aren't be more you? As well. Yeah.
Because if that's a bar bet. I think that if you would have asked me 10 days ago, Duke, Carolina, they're going to get on a roll. They're going to do their thing. They're going to get the Sweet 16. How many times? And then how many times do you think they've advanced? I would have whiffed on both of those.
Yeah.
Especially the Elite Eight.
And it also goes back to the fact that they've only been to one Final Four together and they've never met in the NCAA tournament.
Now, I said to you yesterday,
Wouldn't it be
incredible?
Yes, it would. Right?
Seriously, Coach K with his farewell tour and everything that's going on, the pomp and circumstance, would it not be amazing that both of them make it to the Final Four and see each other in the national semis? It's the first time they would have ever played each other, and it could be potentially K's last game again.
Yeah.
I mean, what are the odds of that happening?
Well,
now, they got a lot of work to do to get there. I'm not telling you that's an easy path. It is not. Well, both of them would sign up for a Final Four right now and not ask a question. It's going to be tough for both of them.
No question.
But how crazy would that be?
Well, and you were at the Hoosier Dome in 91.
I was there.
Yeah, you were in Indianapolis, and 1991 was just insane.
It's an incredible tournament.
I mean, it was Vegas, Duke, Kansas, Carolina.
Man, it was
in
awesome.
Semis.
I mean, that
was just bananas.
I got to tell you, it's one of my favorite days as just a knucklehead going to basketball games was this day right here. Because you got to remember now, Vegas was Vegas, right? They had beaten Duke by 100 last year, the year before, in the national championship game. And then, of course, you had all that going on right there with Roy and Dean. And here's Duke. And, I mean, you know, is Duke going to get pulverized again by Vegas in the second game? This was the first game. This was the first game,
right?
And then Dean gets tossed. And I've told this story before in the air. Where I was sitting was over the entrance where the teams come through.
Right.
So I literally had...
Well, you had good seats.
Well, no, they were terrible seats.
Now you sit in the corner and you see the ball at
no,
all angles.
No, you can't see squat in the dome. But as far as watching the game, I wasn't that far from the court, but you still couldn't see because of the angle and everything else. But what I did have, the perfect view, was the tunnel. I could look down to my right and see all the way down the tunnel where the teams come from.
Yeah.
So when Dean gets tossed, I mean, you can only imagine the Duke fans went bonkers. The Carolina people were PO'd.
Oh, yeah.
The Kansas people, rock, jog, J-R-K-U. I mean, that was good. Then you had the cool Vegas folks over there going, hey.
What time's the game?
Oh, yeah, the Vegas folks were like this. We're going to beat the crap out of all of you. So whoever wants to show up. I mean, so it was just an awesome combination of fans and emotions, and Dean gets tossed. He can't believe he got tossed, right?
No, yeah,
so
correct.
He's like, what?
Right.
And so now, because he got some class, he walks down, shakes everybody's hand, because he's got to walk that way to get to the tunnel where I'm sitting, all right? So he shakes everybody's hands, and I'm watching Dean going, oh, my God, they just threw out Dean's. You can't throw out Dean Smith.
Right.
That's royalty for kind of like. Yeah. He walks out. He's out, right? They escort him out. And I'm looking backwards, you know, and there goes Dean walking down the hall. And the game's near the end. So the game ends.
Then tell the story. This is my favorite part of your story. This
was the coolest part of the whole trip. Now, here come the Carolina players, right? And they are flying. They are running to get, we're going to go see Coach Bill Guthridge. God rest his soul. Rex Chapman, God rest his soul. Bill Guthridge comes zipping. I mean, Bill Guthridge is.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Coach Gut.
Here he comes.
And what's he do?
And these officers see this guy coming, and they have no idea who he is.
Right.
And they pin him up, and he is screaming. He's going after the refs.
He's going after Pete Pavia.
I'm sorry. Yeah. And the refs have to come down that tunnel, too.
Yeah.
So here comes Guthridge.
Oh, yeah.
And he is screaming, and you know what. And he's so mild-mannered, you're watching this going, this is surreal what's going on. And these officers, they pin Bill Guthridge up to the wall.
Yeah.
Now, I'm watching the whole thing. It's like 5 feet from me. And I'm going, oh, my God. And Guthridge is pinned up, and he is screaming at the referees. And they got the cops. And the Tar Heel players hear all this going on. They come back out like, hey, that's our coach.
Yeah.
And they're trying to tell these officers, get your hands off our coach. It was surreal. Dean getting tossed, the crowd and the emotions of all four different fan bases were bonkers. Dean's out of here. Guthridge is pinned up.
Correct.
The officers have got him. And then next thing you know, the next game was Duke upsetting Vegas. And it goes on to win a national title. It was an incredible Saturday at the Final Four.
I know we got video. I know we got video of Duke in Vegas. I know we got video of this game. Holy smokes. The players on the floor for this game.
Yeah, look at the stars in this game.
Yeah. Grant Hill. This is the national championship game against Kansas on the dunk. There's Brian Davis on the dunk. This is the Monday night game.
Now, keep in mind, too, the crowd Saturday, the North Carolina fans are so PO'd. Dean gets tossed.
Right.
They just lost to Roy in Kansas. Mm-hmm. The Kansas fans are incredible basketball fans. North Carolina's got to sit there and watch Dean get tossed and then watch Duke.
They're at least thinking,
well, at least Duke's going to get killed.
Right.
Right. Well, just
because they lost by 30 the year before. Right. They got to lose tonight. Right.
Vegas, at least, the only satisfaction I'm going to get out of this is that Duke's getting ready to get smashed. And then Duke wins the game.
My father's going to hate me telling this story. I'm going to tell this story. So they come back from Indianapolis at the Final Four. And you're going to remember this because you went. So my mom and dad were living in, they're living in Chapel Hill, right? They come back from the, and you're right, all the Carolina fans have had it.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
Lose to Kansas, Dean Smith gets tossed, then Duke wins, and all the Carolina fans got to sit and watch Duke. Now, remember, Pac just told you, when Coach Smith got thrown out, the Duke fans were loving it.
Oh, they went bonkers.
Right.
They absolutely, okay. You can only imagine what was being tossed around with that.
All right. Do you remember, you're in marketing, you appreciate this. I bet you remember this. Do you remember what they put in every chair in the 1991 Final Four in Indianapolis?
I don't.
Remember the seat cushion had the big Final Four logos on them? They did it for like 3 or 4 years at the Final Four. Because when the Final Four started going to these domes, they went big building. Remember, 96 was the last time they played in an arena in New York, in Meadowlands. From 97 on, it's been in domes. So when they started in the early 90s, Superdome, Hoosier Dome, places like that, they had these seat cushions because why? Every chair in a dome stinks, does it not, Pac?
They're not good.
They're not good.
70,000 bad seats.
So they put 70,000 seat cushions in Indianapolis. So I go back home to Chapel Hill. I walk in the garage and I see this seat cushion sitting there on top. I go, "Where'd you get the seat cushion?" "It's the only damn thing we got from Indianapolis."
Woody.
It's like, "Dad, what?" He goes, "Well, they put them in every seat." Okay, thanks. Just kind of asking. You know, all of a sudden, the seat cushion became a talking point.
That was one of the wildest Final Fours I've ever seen. Maybe the given the collection of talent, the coaches, the setting.
Right.
Because Indianapolis is a phenomenal place for the Final Four. It's a great town for the Final Four.
Yeah, and that's why during the pandemic, why do you have it in Indianapolis? Because it's perfect.
No, it's a great spot.
Yeah.
What a collection of games. Holy mackerel.
And the beauty of this event, now it goes back to New Orleans. And Duke has not won one in New Orleans. Carolina's won two in New Orleans, 82 and 93.
And how wild were those two?
Holy smokes. Timeout. Fred Brown threw it away to Worthy.
Jordan.
Patrick Ewing blocks five shots to start the game.
Yeah. Dean wins.
Goaltends five.
One.
Yeah. And people forget how good the semifinals were in 82.
Yeah.
Guess Carolina played Houston. Georgetown played Louisville. I mean, a big league Louisville team.
Yeah.
That was a sensational Final Four. And really, if you're pulling for college basketball on this, that's what you want. You want yourself like we had last year in Indianapolis with Jalen Suggs hitting the shot for Gonzaga, right?
See, that's why I like we get North Carolina, UCLA coming up. I mean, it's cool to get blue bloods who've got the deep tradition. That's why I said yesterday with St. Peter's, I mean, no disrespect, they're a cool story. It's time to go.
Feels like Loyola Marymount, doesn't it, back in the day?
You're 15 minutes of fame?
Yeah.
Time to go. I mean, again, I'm not rooting against you, but I want to see really – I mean, call me crazy.
But you know what St. Peter's has got the feel of? St. Peter's has got the feel of this little trend we've had in the last decade, 15 years, of kind of that little Cinderella that finds their way into the Final Four. Take your Wichita States, your Loyolas, your St. Peter's has got, you know, that here's their 2.5 weeks.
See, I don't mind that part. The thing on
George Mason, Jim Larranaga,
Coach L.
Yeah.
I don't mind that part where it disrupts the early stages. But I am an elitist snob when it comes to the next round because I want blue bloods. Man.
I'm done.
I'm just telling you. I'm not sugarcoating it. I want to see the great stories. Give me the blue bloods.
St. Peter's is a great story. They play at the Run said, Baby Run Arena.
I heard you, but you didn't hear what I said. I don't mind them coming to this stage of the party. But it's time to go. I had a guy yesterday called the radio show, big Kentucky fan. By the way,
what's what they've been doing?
I'll tell you what they've been doing.
They had a weekend off.
No, I'll tell you what they've been doing. They're mad at their coach. I heard enough of that from Coach Cal. I said, listen, the guy's a pretty good coach now. Everybody's got one of those St. Peter's.
Hello, Kay Wood. I'd like to talk to you about Coach Cal.
Some Kentucky fans go, Duke's never experienced our pain. I said, y'all, yeah, Lehigh's on line one. Mercer's on line two. So get in the real world. It's happening to everybody.
Yeah.
Weber State over here for North Carolina. Yeah. Bucknell's over here for Kansas. I mean, Boeheim.
Vermont for Syracuse.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's got one of those,
yeah,
right?
You got it.
But this guy from Kentucky calls and says, Pack, I got to tell you the story. He goes, I'm a big Kentucky fan, yada, yada, yada. I said, well, sorry about your loss. Yeah, yeah, but let me tell you what happened. He goes, I was so impressed with the way St. Peter's played that I called their athletic department and said I wanted to buy some St. Peter's gear. And I said, wow, that's awfully brazen of you, man. Me, Kentucky guy, wearing St. He said, Pack, you got to hear the story. He goes, so a woman gets on the phone and says, can I help you? And he said, yeah, I want to buy some St. Peter's gear. She goes, okay, no problem. What would you like? He goes, well, what do you have? She goes, we only have three kinds of T-shirts. He goes, well, I want one of each. And she goes, okay, no problem. Where would you like me to send that? And he goes, well, what do I owe you? She goes, nothing. I'll just send it to you. And I said, man, what a deal. Not only do they beat you, but then they absolutely go, you bless your heart. They send you
in Jersey City. They didn't say bless your heart,
no,
but I get.
I know, but that's a Southern thing.
Yeah,
but then they send the guy for. He said, "Pack, I had to tell the story because the people at St. Peter's could not be any nicer." So I said, "You're going to wear St. Peter's stuff in Kentucky?" He goes, "Oh yeah." So as soon as they sent it to me, I'll wear. He goes, "I was impressed with the way they played." Now that is a basketball fan. I'm just going
to
tell you.
Well, you're trying to send them home.
No, I'm not trying to send them home. I just want them to go home. If they earn their way into it, awesome. Good for you guys. But I am an elitist snob when it comes to the Final Four.
What are we doing here?
What do you mean, what are we doing here? That's my opinion.
It's the beauty of the event.
I get it. Get them out of here.
Did you want Loyola to go home?
No. No, I didn't want them there.
Wichita State with Marshall.
Sister Jean's probably, she won't cuss me out. She's 102. She's not going to cuss me out. They're cool stories. But there's a place for cool stories. And then it needs to end. It needs to end. Sorry. Why? Do you want St. Peter's to go to the Final Four?
It'd be unbelievable.
You'd rather see them than Carolina?
For our purposes, no.
How about for your purpose?
For my purpose? I mean, I'm an ACC guy. I'm an ACC. No, I don't want to see them ahead of Carolina.
Well, there you go.
No.
Well, welcome to my side there, elitist snob. If North Carolina's playing St. Peter's, I hope North Carolina beats him by 100.
But you hate Carolina.
Okay. No, I forgot.
All right, let's go to break.
I had some guy send me an email last night. He sent me a two-page email.
Billy hated Carolina, too.
You know, before I start, I just want to let you know, I watched your show, and you hate Carolina. Oh, okay. Then let me just continue to read your two-page novel. Really brilliant stuff.
Did he say Billy hated Carolina, too?
Oh, yeah. Good. Apparently, he's somewhere
that's
on
what
page
I always,
two.
Mark hates Carolina. Billy hated Carolina.
That's right. Let's hire a guy at the ACC Network that hates Carolina. That makes a lot of sense.
We love all, we serve all. Do we not? Do we not?
Except for St. Peter's.
All right. When we come back, we are in the final turns, folks. No matter how this goes, of Mike Krzyzewski's incredible 42-year run at Duke. After Sunday's win against Michigan State, he turns his attention to San Francisco. But Coach K's legacy is alive and well in the Sweet 16.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Durham, on a Tuesday, the stories we tell you on the air are one thing, then the lies begin during the break.
Oh, my God. 31 years ago, my man over here, running big at the Hoosier Dome.
I was a single man back then.
Yes, you were. St. Elmo's?
Single.
Did you get into St. Elmo's when you were in Indianapolis that weekend?
That was way above my head. Come on.
No.
I was single and dangerous.
Marketing, promotions, right? That's what marketing czar, promotional czar.
Something like that.
Yeah, pretty much. We said going to break. We're in the final stages of Mike Krzyzewski's incredible legacy as Duke's head basketball coach. No matter when the end is written, whether it's in San Francisco or maybe in New Orleans on a Monday night, Coach K's legacy is clearly established. And now through words of former players and colleagues, you hear about what the inspiration was, what took them to the next level when playing for the legendary coach of the Blue Devils.
First of all, it's Krzyzewski.
You always knew that every moment was meaningful, every game.
He was as interested in, as me, the person, as he was me, the basketball player.
Somebody that is always on your side.
Coach K taught us about being excellent in everything you do.
One of the best things of Coach K is his remarkable talent to bring guys from all different areas and different walks of life and bring them together.
That relentless approach to wake up, you know, attack it again, really helps you become successful in life more so than a game.
His love for just everybody and everything was something that I hold to this day.
One of the first things Coach K asked me wasn't about, here are all the things that I'm going to give you. It was more so Jason, tell me what you want to achieve when you come to Duke. Wait, what? Shouldn't you be selling me on why I should want to come to Duke? It was reverse psychology, right? Now tell me why you want to be a part of my program, Jason. I'll sit back and I'll listen. I'll wait for your answer. I never had somebody flip the script on me that way.
He made me feel like he would listen to what I would say.
He'll ask me, you know, what I see, like what you want to go here. And just to have a guy like that, you know, ask me, you know, what I'm seeing or what I want, that just did so much for my confidence.
I found myself being spoken to like I was a young man.
Hunt will have to do something.
Put the three.
Some three. Off the back.
Hunt and long.
Hurley's gone there. Duke has done it. Duke has upset UNLV.
Being a part of one of the greatest upsets in college basketball, beating UNLV, and I still remember walking back after that game to media and just both of us saying to each other, wow, did we just do this?
Duke has won its first national championship.
That play that we ran at the end versus Kentucky had been practiced numerous times, so it's no accident that it worked during the game.
There's the pass to Leitner. Puts it up. Yes!
Coach K had us ready for that type of moment.
The Duke of Destiny has won it. College basketball has a repeat champion.
Very subtle ways, Coach K questioned my ability to be a historic Duke player. In film session, you talk about Grant Hill, you talk about Christian Leitner. In very subtle terms, asking me, hey, Battier, can you be that guy? Can you be that guy? And I said, I'm gonna be that guy.
The greatest staff meeting that I was ever part of was after we lost to Maryland in 2001. The team was coming in for like a 6 a.m. meeting, and I think we got done at 5. And I can remember sitting in the locker room with the 2001 team and coach busting through the door. And coach looked at all of our guys and said, if you listen to me, we will win the national championship.
That's it. Duke has the championship.
He always found a cause. For me, I had to be angry. He would find little clips, little things that people would say, leave it in my locker. Like, okay. Okay, I'm gonna give him 50 tonight.
oh, they're talking about this kid, Dan Gazzarich, back at UCLA. He's better than you. Oh, word? Nah. It's a way for coach to get us to play against ourselves. Are you doing everything at a championship level for you? Because if you're doing it at a championship level for you, you're doing it at a championship level for us.
Duke is back atop college basketball's elite. And in a tournament where nothing went according to form, Duke did.
I said, that's five, coach. Like, that's five. St. House's fifth ring. And he was like, no, that's one for this team together. And for him to say that, like, right then and there, like, no hesitations, it's like, wow, like, this, he's incredible.
Winning championships, there's just kind of like, I'm still a little bit in awe of being around him.
He was my best teacher that I had in college. The phrase that I first heard when I was starting there as a freshman, next play. That simple phrase, what we use in basketball that he taught, of going from one thing to the next, from whether it's good or bad, can we move instinctively right away to the next thing?
A lot of the principles that he taught me on the court were principles that were applicable to me in my life when I've gone through real adversity. So when I'm around him, I do less talking and I do more listening.
Boy, nothing like former players in situations like mm-hmm. that, is there?
Always great to listen to that.
Great stuff. You see the early BPI pack. Red Raiders, 53.7% chance to win, huh?
That is great news for Duke. You know what else is great news for Duke?
What?
I interviewed Reese Davis yesterday, and Reese and I both in our original brackets, because Reese has the same theory I do. 2 minutes, don't worry about it. You do one, you throw it in the trash can by Friday. Yeah. We both had Texas Tech beating Duke in our bracket. Great news for Duke.
That is great news. When we come back, great news for us. Hour two on this Tuesday. And Seth Greenberg on his way to hit a small bucket of balls today in Connecticut will stop by. Trying to get to the range. We'll talk to Coach Greenberg about the Sweet 16 next on Packer and Durham.
Packer and Durham.